Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky have a test to see what is the difference between an ordinary wine and a single vineyard wine. To find that out, we pit the ordinary Turley Juvenile Zinfandel against the extraordinary Turley Whitney Tennessee Single Vineyard Zinfandel. So sit back, relax, and listen to us drink extremely high alcohol wines here on the Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Tonight, I am Dr. Swartz because I am... It is a bit of a protest on Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, so Dr. Swartz only will speak.
Well, tonight, we are joined by him. Triple B is not on as of yet. Will she be on? I don't know. We shall see. Hopefully she will be because the amount of alcohol we have to drink tonight is beyond. It's almost a test of wills. Can we do this tonight, folks? Can we survive what we're going to do tonight? Because tonight, it's almost like David Copperfield meets Houdini meets Jackass. Stunt. It is.
What?
We have...
What?
Well... We have two wines tonight. They are both from Turley, the offerings from Turley. What we want to know is, and it's not really we want to know, we just want to drink, this stuff. But what is, side by side, the difference between a standard wine? Now, Turley, that's kind of an asshole thing to say standard. Most people would say flip-flop, but I don't. I would say standard is Turley Juvenile Zinfandel. That's their basic wine.
Their standard wine.
They would say, this is our table wine.
I don't think they would ever say that.
No, they wouldn't. But if they
did...
That's
offensive.
Well, whatever.
Turley, I love you. Rob does.
This is their pay doc. Anyway, basic level wine. What is that in comparison to one of their single vineyard offerings? Now, they have about 80.
It's dozens.
And we arbitrarily picked one. And we're going to do, and one that I don't know that I've done, it's the Whitney, Tennessee, Alexander Valley Zinfandel.
Sonoma.
And you say, what the hell kind of name is Whitney, Tennessee? Well, it's named after Larry Turley's youngest daughter. And she's like the assistant to one of the other daughters, right?
I'm not sure what position she's in.
They're
all involved in the family vineyard, I think, except one works outside the vineyard.
It might be her. She sweeps the sidewalks.
Turley, I love you.
I know.
Rob hates you.
I'm just teasing. Anyway, unless I'm not. How does that wine compare? What are the differences between that? Now, one is Alexander Valley, predominantly. That is completely. That is the Whitney. But Juvie is a hodgepodge mismatch of everywhere. A multitude of different sites. Normally, it's their younger plantings in those vineyards that they have just sprinkled about. Right, Scott?
27 vineyards, 11 different counties represented. So what Turley does is they intermix young vines in several of their old vine sites. They tag the younger vines, and then they pick them separately, combine all the wines from these different juvies they've kind of intermixed in old vine vineyards and come out with this wine. Been doing it more than 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the grapes come from like Hain, which is some of it might though come from a good one like Dragon
one.
Rattlesnake.
Oh Lord.
Or Uberuth.
Oh Lord.
It's just a little expensive. It's not that Hain's bad. It's a good wine. But it's not as good as their less expensive offerings.
Oh, God.
It's not as good as Pacenti.
It's fantastic.
It's not as good as Pacenti. It's not as good as Mead Ranch. It's not as good as Dragon or Rattlesnake or Uberu.
Oh, he's just trying to get a rise out of me,
or
folks.
Stacey. Or, you know, I haven't had Deaver yet, and I bet it's not as good. Any of the things from Amador. It's better than Sadie Upton. I'll give it that.
You know, I'm thinking of a Ben Stiller movie where a young child says, it's a hole.
I'm just saying. Scott gets very emotional about these things
because
he's emotionally invested intro.
No, because I make the wise investment to buy Hain Vineyard. Not just the Zinfandel.
It's not a wise investment.
But the Petite Syrah as well.
Oh, my God. That's not a wise... Okay. Oh, what, are you reselling it?
Sure.
No, you're not.
No.
Princess goes down there and opens it after 6 months.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
No.
She would if I told her to do it, and she would do it.
No.
What you most recently bought, that was a wise investment. This is not.
Mm.
I mean, you know. It's a lot more expensive, too. But we're not going to talk about that. There are secrets in the wine vault. My wine vault and Scott's. So we're not going to talk about
it. We recently both bought.
We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about it.
We recently both purchased.
Don't say nothing.
$100 pointers.
$100 pointers?
$180 100 point wine.
No, I did not. I would never do that. It's $187.99.
Yeah.
Not the point. Anyway, keep your mouth shut. Anyway, so, two wines, what are the difference? Will Becky join us, or will we pass out before the show's over? We're going to find that out, and more, here on The Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love The Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about The Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So first in the firing line, and we're going to, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to drink them kind of side by side. We're going to.
Ooh.
We're going to do that because we're going to be comparing the two wines. We're going to be talking about them. We're going to break them down. We're going to show a lot of intellectual ability. And you, Scott, are just here because of your good looks, apparently. I don't know.
Intellectual ability.
Not really. What? You don't have that.
To insult the Turley family.
I did not insult the Turley family.
Saying that Hain's is an inferior wine.
It is an inferior wine.
Oh, God.
But to some of their... I'm just saying their other wines are so good. They're not Zin. They're not Ridge, but they're good.
I wish your wife was here.
I know. I really like the label of Ridge better. And I like the bottles because they stack better.
You just need to build a custom storage unit for Turley's. Like
obsessive,
your friend Scott
crazy
did.
Person. Yeah, I know.
Hey, I saw the glimmer in your eye when you were visiting my recently finished wine storage.
That was looking at you. So, anyway, for the juvenile, and this is the 2019 vintage, Robert Parker, Bobby, he provided it, 92 of his points. And he wrote,
you thought I wouldn't be on. No, this is Wilford. Robert Parker, you know, I tried to work for him one time.
I'll bet you did.
I did. I offered to mow his lawn for $25. You know what he said?
What did he say?
He said, would you take your shirt off when you mow?
No,
said,
he did not.
Oh, he did. And I said, well, yes. And so I did. And then he said, what else would you do for $25? And I went, well, you already paid me $20. He said, another $25. And I said, what? And he said, will you take your pants off when you mow? I said, well, sure. I'd do that for $25. So I did. And then he said, you know what, Wilford? What? What would you do for $50? I said, well, you already gave me another $50. And I said, well, I don't know. What would you? He said, would you mow in the nude? And I said, well, yes, I would mow in the nude. I mowed in the nude. You know what I found out, though?
That he wasn't going to pay you another $50 once he saw you in the nude?
No, it wasn't actually Robert Parker. That's what I found out after the fact.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know why. He looked like Robert Parker. He was like 47, and he had a full head of hair.
Yeah, you're not a good judge of
why?
Robert Parker.
That's not what he looks like?
No.
Oh, it was in northern Italy.
Yeah.
He wore a scarf. There's that damn James Suckling again.
That's what it was. Was it James?
Yes. He's a trickster, that James. Anyway, Robert Parker, who did not hire me to mow in the nude, said the 19 Zinfandel, the juvenile, has a medium ruby color and aromas of earth-laced red and black berries. The palate is soft and alluring with a wealth of ripe fruit and juicy acidity, and it finishes long and uplifted. It's very approachable. It's a very approachable style, this vintage.
Now, one thing I always find with juveniles,
Yes, what do you find out about juveniles?
Easy, Wilfred.
Anyway, no, the juvenile one.
Oh, that's not as exciting.
Anyway, it should be aged for, held for, I'd say, 3-4 years from its release. It's always too young. So the 19, I think, is going to be a little bit too young. But it's just my opinion. I think right now, if we had a 14, it would be glorious. Or 15, or 16. But the 14 especially. 14, I love the 14. In the glass, dark, dark, dark. A dark ruby. More ruby than purple. Oh, by the way, the juvenile.
I think the taste, I think the recommendation on the tasting and the age on them, I think they do recommend 3 to 4 years to, mm-hmm. to put it back.
By the way, for the Steve Gibsons in the audience, the juvenile has 15.2% alcohol. On the nose. Brambly fruit laced with a bit of vanilla. And the fruit itself is blueberry, blackberry. What is that stupid dog doing? And almost like a cobbler kind of nose.
Mm-hmm.
Are you smelling it or are you just... You're looking at pornography.
Yeah, so, you know, pop and pour.
I hate those that term.
Yeah.
You don't pop a cork anymore.
Well.
You remove a cork.
Yeah.
What are we, savages? I hate that. I really hate that term.
Well, they use
that. That and QPR. Who uses it?
On the Legend for the Cellar Guide.
What's the Legend for the Cellar Guide? Is that like a Dungeons and Dragons thing? Legend for the Cellar Guide.
It's what explains the meaning of the chart.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
It's a legend like on a
map. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like on a map.
Oh, sure.
A legend.
Well, I thought you meant something else. You're LARPing. Yes. Legend of the Cellar Guide. Did you hear the guys that were charged with going to kidnap the Michigan governor got acquitted? Because the defense was they're too fucking stupid to have done it, and they were all high on pot. And one guy loved to do LARPing. It's like live act, whatever it is. Scott does it. And so, which is kind of funny in reality. They said the plan was so fucking stupid, you could never imagine it'd be done. Nice job, federal prosecutors there. You got guys on tape, and you can't even get them convicted. That's hilarious.
Well, there's a jury of their peers in Michigan.
Well, I know, but...
Well...
Yeah, he's a LARPer.
Half the Michigan militia's LARPer.
It was just... Well, all the militia douchebags are LARPing.
That's half the fucking state.
I know. Well, they're LARPers. So, drinking the wine. Scott, do you have anything to add on the nose? Or are you going to smell it? Or are you just going to play with your...
It's a wonderful... Actually, one of the bigger juvie noses.
A little bit, yeah.
But we've been, you know, off air, we've been comparing the noses, and it does pale in comparison to the Whitney's nose.
Piff. I don't know what that is, but...
It's humongous. It's big and large and round and out there. I mean,
just like Whitney,
it's so big.
Just like Whitney's nose. She needs a rhinoplasty, but that's right.
I don't think you mentioned mocha in the background there. Just a hint of it. It's got a lot going on.
Just a tasty, tasty Zinfandel. I'm a fan of that Zinfandel. Recently, Scott and I had the displeasure of having the Renwood Premier Old Fine Zin.
Oh, my Lord. Why did you bring that up?
What did I do with that? I used that for cooking. What the hell was that? Oh, yeah, I did. I don't remember what I cooked with. I threw it on something. Was it a steak?
A fire?
I don't know. What did I use that for? I don't know. I used it for something. It wasn't too bad. But
this is an interesting version of the juvie. There's a streak of almost towards leather, like all through from the mid palate to the finish.
Mm. Oh. And there's pops of acidity and twinges of oak that are just flying up and just showing themselves.
The way that oak expresses, mm-hmm. it's like it's almost like leather.
I know. It's, oh, God. But the little pops of acidity really make this wine.
As soon as it hits your palate, too.
Really set this wine apart, make it a very pleasing thing. It's not as complex as, say, like a Uber Ruth. And it's not also, though, it doesn't come across as heavy, which means that it would make me pass out because it sneaks up on you like a
15.2, 15.3, you said?
Yeah, 15.2, yeah, like a ninja.
Now, I have to say I disagree with Bob. The fruit expression on this is not lacking, but it's not as pronounced as his review would make it seem.
Well, but the palate is soft.
It's fine.
But to call that it does have juicy acidity, but it's dark fruit.
Yes.
I mean, so when I guess it is ripe dark fruit. It just depends on, it's not jammy though. So what do we mean? It's a refined wine. So you're going to have to classify what he's saying a little bit differently.
I would, if I would go with one berry flavor here, one berry characteristic on the front palate, I would say relatively unripe blackberry.
Well, that's the structure of it. But cassis is also...
Oh, yeah. But just talking about just the berry. But the savory fruits are what dominate the fruit profile.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
The juiciness is a blackberry.
That's a little unusual for the juvie. They're usually a little more berry forward.
They're a little more simple than this. A little more simplistic. This is not a... This is a very nicely complex wine. We buy it at... Well, with shipping, like $25, $26. So that's all we're paying for this. If you bought it retail, it's more like low 30s, probably. But depending on where you're at. If you're in California, you probably get it cheaper. You can get in the 20s.
The truth is...
So, I mean, this isn't a lot more...
Small wine shop could charge upwards of 40 and probably
I've seen it in the 40s.
Yep.
Wine.com right now selling the old vine for 37, and I saw it at Giant Eagle recently for 37.
Huh.
But
we got old vine, I think, for 32 a couple years back on Wine.com.
No, we got it for 25. Oh, Wine.com. Yeah, I bought it for 36 or 7 this year. But yes, you're right. No, it was a little bit lower. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like lower 30s. I don't recall exactly. That was during COVID when they had a little bit more. They had the Cinsault and a couple of the Stici.
The Cinsault was 20.
It was 20.
$2,
yeah,
maybe?
And the Cinsault is nice.
It's an extremely... Drink now wine.
Yeah, you consider it, drink it like a Pinot. You would.
Yeah,
and if you approach it like that, you're going to enjoy it more.
I was, you know, from the offerings, I don't think I'd ever bought it, but now, a bottle or two, maybe every other offering, I really enjoyed this. And so, I think I ordered a little more than you did.
Mm-hmm. I ordered three juvies, three Stichies, because I just love Stichy. And one of the Deaver, just for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some that I zero in. I like the Dragon. I like the Rattlesnake. And there's I'll throw in a Pazenti here and then. But I buy mostly Old Vine, Juvie, some of the Amadors, like the Judge Bells, Cedarman when it's around. Although I think I'm going to take a break from Cedarman because I have a lot of undrank Cedarman. Ooh. It's off. I have a lot. But Becky won't drink it.
Why would you ever stay away from the Cedarman?
We're going to have a Cedarman episode at some point because I have so much.
It's
so
phenomenal.
Yeah. It's a brute, though.
So this was... my shipment was slightly delayed. Hold up at the warehouse, but... not as a hold up, but as a delay. But yesterday was I got my Turley day. It's always happy. I'm looking forward to a new choice for me, the Vineyard 101.
Had it.
And, you know, usually the first time I order one, I'll get a couple.
Yeah.
And then one I'll drink just to see what it is and then hold the other one back.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of make an early decision. Do I want to do that again? What am I going to do? So I've ordered the Bedrock before, but I held off on tasting it. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to wait a few years and see what I've got.
Everybody else does a Bedrock. It'd be interesting. Yeah, I have some Bedrock, too. I did.
Like, Martinelli does a Bedrock, maybe?
I know that Bedrock does a Bedrock.
Bedrock does a Bedrock?
Martinelli is mostly Russian River. Okay. So, where is Bedrock? It's more Northern Sonoma, isn't it? It's up by, is that Alexander Valley-ish? I forget.
I'll look that up.
So I don't know that Martinelli does one, but then again, they do some single vineyard stuff, so they might. I kind of get leery. I have not bought Martinelli. You have a little bit of Martinelli.
I have that Lolo and Giuseppe and Louise, I think.
The big dog. They're Hain, kind of. What's the alcohol on that? Is it in the 16s?
It's up there.
They have to take the paint off the wall, I bet.
I'd have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Bedrock Vineyard is Sonoma.
Is it? Okay. And, well, I mean, Russian River is Sonoma. It's just, the Russian River ones get really drippy to me. Very, very alcohol laden. And you know it. And sometimes that's fine. But Amador does the same thing, mind you. I mean, we talk about that. And so, it just depends. Mood strikes you. But honestly, I'm not going to sit down and, if I'm going to drink something from Russian River, I'll have a glass. Which is strange for me. You know what I mean?
Well, not really. You're just strange in general.
Probably because I can't drink any more than that or I'll pass out in a chair. It's just how it works. I'm sure I'll pass out tonight. So, assuming we'll survive. I don't know.
There's some Bedrock vineyards that go back to the 1880s.
Mmm. Mmm. Well, let's switch over without even taking a break. Let's not do that. Let's go over to the Whitney. And there are no reviews for the Whitney. And this is a 17 Whitney.
Let me read the notes of the Whitney.
So yeah, absolutely.
I believe that Whitney is one of the most recent Turley offerings, if not the most recent, of a vineyard they purchased.
Yes, they did.
And rehabbed. And
it looks like... and they
Turley specializes in doing that.
Turley takes pictures of their vineyards, and they're on their website. So you can look at where they grow it. Not most places don't do that. And they're very nicely done pictures. Like, if you look at Uber's vineyard, it is crazy looking. It's very special. But Whitney's looks like a construction parking lot.
No, it does not.
It does, too. It's not the most picturesque.
I'm looking at the picture right now.
It's like dirt.
Oh, Lord.
Well, they all are dirt.
They're all dirt.
Well, I know. That just looks like
you're
dirt.
Dirt.
It's just not very.
Go stick your nose in the dirt.
It's not. Well, anyway.
But, yes. So here's straight from the Turley page. Everything old is new again, and this wine is no exception. This small, state-owned, pre-prohibition vineyard was purchased by the winery in 2009. We've been slowly but surely repairing the soils through organic methods until the wine was ready to make its debut 6 years later. Planted on loam, various gravel soils, the Whitney, Tennessee vineyard, named for one of Larry's four daughters, is a mixed planting as well, with small amounts of Petite Syrah and Carignan vines throughout. Located just off Alexander Valley Road in Sonoma, the wine was part of the old vines blend until it was ready to make its debut with a stellar vintage.
In the
long-time Turley followers may remember a wine with the same name from the mid-1990s. This is a different source.
In the glass, it is similar colored, but it's a little bit deeper than
I would
that.
Say slightly denser.
It's showing a little bit less of the ruby edge as you get to it. But on the nose is really where things change significantly. It is a very aromatic, but not a floral aromatic nose. Lots of elements of...
It's a big MF'n nose.
Well, it has a slight bit of a PX...
Okay.
Residual sugar waft. And not a negative sense, but you know, a little bit of caramel, a little bit of, you know.
I'll give you that.
A little bit of molasses. That's part of it.
And that molasses kind of, it's almost like it's peak and valley, like this wave action where it goes from molasses into licorice.
And like a cherry, a creamy cherry, like a cherry popsicle. What's that? What's a cherry sickle kind of thing?
Yeah, like instead of, you know, creamsicles, like a cherry version of
a
that.
A cherry creamsicle, yes.
Is there such a thing?
I don't think so, but it's
just made it up.
They know what I mean. They know what I mean.
Of course, when you make something up that nobody's ever had before, they can relate to that.
And then also, there's a sense of pine.
This is one hell of a nose.
There's also a pine. Pine needle. A forest floor slightly, because there's a slight bit of earth, but it's the overtone. So you have like the base. You're going to smell those, you know, slightly kind of a brute kind of the molasses, all that cherry sickle stuff. But over top of it, it's just this light wafting. And that you know what? That is the floral element is a bit of a pine needle.
I was going to say pine needles. When you've got pine trees and you don't clean up the pine needles, you will get, particularly on a hot summer day, that aroma that just wafts up from a thick bed of pine needles.
But very fresh.
And it's pleasing.
No, it is pleasing because it's subtle, it's soft, but it's there. It's a very nice nose. Interesting nose. And now going in. 15.4% alcohol, I believe, on this one.
So not quite to 16. Yes. So I just quaffed the first belt of this. This has a little more traditional Zinfandel berry, but it also is followed up with savory fruit, although more currant than contrasted to the juvie, which was more cassis-ish.
See, I'm surprised you like this as much because it does have a slight bit of a red-toned tawny port finish. Not overtly sweet, or you know what, an Oloroso sherry finish. One that has a lot of richness, but it's still dry. Because it is very, it has a bit of a sticky, not boozy, but sticky drippiness to it. It tastes, it really actually tastes like an older, almost like an Amarone kind of finish. Raisin qualities, things of that nature.
I love
still plush.
The finish, there's a lingering part of the finish that is just pure, unadulterated oak. A very dusty tannin on the finish, but that just kick of oak, that just, it's not that peppery finish of oak. It's just this kind of mouth drying oak that it's raw, but it's pure, but it's wonderful. I'm not sure Becky would like this just for that reason alone, because of the way the oak finishes.
But you know how it comes in? It's kind of great that it almost is like shutters, and it just comes up thunk, like that.
100%.
It just arises, and then thunk, there it is, and it just glides through the rest of the wine.
Yes, it's like you're going through the wine, and there's this hiccup of oak.
No. It's very subtle. You can tell it's coming, and it just crescendos, and then peaks, and then it just glides through to the finish.
Yeah.
And matriculates the rest of the way. This has a very long finish. It's still long. It's not for everybody. It's a well-done wine. I mean, it really is. It's a very good wine for people that are fans of the style. If I'm going to pick one right now to drink, I'm drinking the Juvie. I prefer the style. I like the wine better. That being said, that has no knock on the merit of this wine, because this wine definitely is of high merit. It's a I mean, it's a very interesting wine. And for people that are definitely Zin snobs, xenophobes, this is one thing that, is that a word? I don't know, xenophobe?
Mm-hmm.
This is a wine that you definitely want to seek out and try because it does have a little bit of off-kilter kind of notes to it that you don't see. It's trying, it, you can definitely see the uniqueness of that single vineyard there. There's not any other Zin that's going to come across exactly like this.
And again, we love Zinfandel. Turley does such a fantastic job with taking a vineyard, taking a grape, and doing different things with it. And this is yet another expression of uniqueness.
Well, it's unique in the fact,
I love this.
Think of what we do when we go into Bordeaux. We're seeing the nuance of different areas,
and
we're enjoying the way that they bring Merlot and Cab Franc, Malbec, Petit Verdot together, and creating this overall tapestry. But they're also doing that in other parts of the world. And when you have artisanal winemakers, they could be in California, they could be anywhere, they go and make things that are just a better product. They're just better. They don't taste of the grocery store. Neither one of these wines taste of a grocery store. They don't taste of something that is designed to sell 50,000 cases because they don't make that much. They make very small. Juvie, though, is like 20,000. And it's a bigger, it's a big
product. Yeah.
But maybe more than that, 30.
I don't.
But the Whitney.
I think
1,200 cases or so.
Juvie
or
is the second largest production to old vines, I think.
Yeah, yeah, old vines are big.
I think.
That's why you see old vines and you don't see Juvie. But I also think Juvie gets bought up because I think the Triple B loves old vine the most. But I think the population likes Juvie maybe a little bit better than old vine. But I've had old vine ones. I've had old vines, certain vintages. They're up there on the board. That are just their masterpieces.
We vacillated between different vintages, which we think is better.
Absolutely.
I think that the finish on this Whitney.
Yeah.
I think my grandchildren have graduated from college the amount of time it took for this wine to finish.
Well, for us, it costs, I think Whitney costs 38 or 40?
40 bucks.
Yeah. And so think about that. I mean, I don't think that retail goes for 40. It's probably closer in the 60s.
I would guess so.
Yeah, 68, 70. If you could find it. I mean, it's pretty.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's pretty hard to find.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd be looking for some online purveyor. Let's see what we get. Wine Searcher shows the average price at 71.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. The 18, and this is 17.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here's a wine bid showing for 35. It's an auction price. Same page showing the average price for old vine. 37 average price for Juvie, 33. But you know, these sometimes I think these Wine Searcher prices are not vintage specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anywho,
we'll go back to the Juvie. Take a sip.
Yeah, wine.com showed the 16, not currently available, but it's $65.
Yeah, I understand. Now, the Juvie, one thing I like about the Juvie, it's chewy. It has a lot more chewiness to it. But it's also more traditional in its price range. So it's the best. It's like the, so if you're thinking about like Segeshio Sonoma or Dry Creek Old Vine Zin, so one of those things, you know, right?
This is going to be closer to that than it is different.
You think
in texture.
You think, okay, I know what those taste like. Those are good wines. think of those refined to a different degree. This is Juvie is a better wine than those.
By far.
Yeah. We like those wines, but imagine if those wines were just an exceptional version of themselves at about the same price. That's what the juvenile tastes. It's the best version of what those are.
100%.
I'm not saying a lot because I think those wines are great.
And
they're cracking, as a British person would say.
And keep in mind, we on the show, we've done this quest for a California designate Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth a shit. We're 0 for 50. 0 for how many ever times we've tried it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's maybe two that were passable.
Yeah.
This is a California designation Zinfandel that probably takes on 60% of the single varietals out there on the market.
Let's be frank though, Scott. If
and
Turley,
it's half the price.
But if Turley made a California designated Cabernet, it probably would be really good. Let's just be frank.
Just putting it out there, Turley. Well, listen.
They could do that. Yes. If they would like to make one for our review and submission, we are willing to do that.
Yeah,
because we're givers.
No, they're willing to do that for the unlicensed taxi driver. Since you don't like Hain, they would never do it for you.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. We'll bring it here. That's okay.
You're trying to get fired from your own podcast, aren't you?
Yeah, I can't get fired from my own podcast. Yes, who's going to fire me?
Me, if you keep besmirching Haynes, you bastard.
You
don't
know how to work the damn computer. You
well,
can't fire shit.
Well, I'm not saying you wouldn't work the computer for us.
Sure. Hey, when we get emails about requests about things, it's Dear Robert. It's to Becky, but it's to Dear Robert.
Yeah, Dear Robert. Let Becky talk more. Dear Robert, quit mansplaining to Becky. Dear Robert, why do you always do the better wine on the second episode?
Why do we do two Turleys when Becky's not on? Because she could have been on.
Because you wouldn't wait 5 minutes for her to start.
It's been 20 minutes. She ain't here.
It's been more than 20 minutes.
I know. So we would have been dead by the time that episode. So we got it. That's okay. She doesn't like really juvenile anyway. So, what are we going to do? She'll be mad at me tomorrow because we drank these things. But maybe there'll be some leftovers.
No.
We'll be dead if there isn't. I don't think we can drink. Well, we will.
It would be a happy death.
I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break because Scott needs to take a breathalyzer. And I'm going to perform the walk and turn and fall down here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. On tonight's potpourri, the Triple B has joined us. No, it's not. I'm scared for my life, but that's okay.
Yeah, Rob's in trouble.
We are going to ask a general question, and anyone that would like to participate may, including Bo. The question is, and this was forwarded to us, to Scott.
By a listener. By my cousin.
Yes. And he wanted to know. Generally, the question, why do you or anyone, not just him, love red wine? I think that's a little bit discriminatory because some people like white wine.
Why do you love red wine?
Mm-hmm. Why do you like white wine? Because you like drinking out of plastic cups. I mean, you know, there's...
Easy. Now you're being discriminatory.
You like charm bracelets on your wine. Is that a bracelet? That's not a bracelet. It's like the little charm hoop things.
Yeah, what's the company where you get the little wrist thing where you get the letters on the block?
Pandora. Is that still in business?
It's a Pandora? Is it Pandora?
That used to be very popular.
Oh, it's very popular.
I have a couple Pandora rings. Ooh. Really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't have gone there.
I saw
I don't have a charm bracelet, but I do have some nice rings.
I saw a gentleman today that was wanted to be pretending to be highfalutin. He's another attorney, whatever. He doesn't listen to the show naturally, but he was wearing a gold watch, which is very exciting, and had diamonds all the way around it.
Oh,
there's only one problem.
Was it Casio?
No, it was Pulsar. Which I'm doubting that those are real diamonds, but he was very excited about it. I would have pulled my sleeve up, but that's okay. That's a very gaudy watch with diamonds from Pulsar. You know, only the finest. Those are probably conflict diamonds, I'm guessing. They're conflict plastic diamonds.
Oh, yes. Lord.
So, anybody want to go first? Why do we love red wine?
Well, I'd said many years before I was exposed to Turley that if I was going to be a chronic alcoholic, only drink one thing, it would be red wine.
Well, you are a chronic alcoholic, but...
Well, then I became one because I was introduced to Turley. And
oh, you're blaming me. I'm being blamed.
Do I drink red wine? And it's everything about Turley. We talked earlier about...
Well, why...
The winery specialty
of... Well, why red wine over white wine? Why red wine over...
Why do you love red wine?
Faygo. Because Faygo's tasty, especially the cherry Faygo.
No,
it's nice.
Speaking of, where root did that beer. Mountain Dew come from in our fridge?
Excellent. That's a good question. William went out and found it somewhere because he's a feral.
Out in the yard, maybe?
I don't know.
It was covered in dirt. I accidentally opened it today.
That's hysterical.
Instead of a Diet Coke. I took a
drink. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I was like sitting at my desk. I was just whatever.
No,
you
didn't.
It's been in the fridge for like a week.
Well, he brought it in. He goes... And I don't know where you were, but he was there with me. I'm not sure where it was. Maybe he took Henry to a practice. I don't know what it was. And he walks in, marches in, and he goes, I don't know where you went. You weren't home.
I was probably laying Maggie down.
No, you were gone. Probably out at the bar again. I don't know.
Jesus.
It just,
you're so going to die.
That's what she does. But not at night, folks. I mean, she's... home at night. She goes to the bar at like 11 o'clock in the morning and drinks God, then. So, no, I don't know where you were. You were someplace. But William walks in very proudly. He goes, I'm going to drink this. And I went, the hell you are, you asshole. And where'd you find it? Didn't we like...
it had dirt all over it.
Well, you probably found it on the floor of the garage.
Why'd you put it in the fridge? You didn't wash it off or anything.
I didn't know.
It had like dirt in the...
I didn't notice. I didn't look at it that close. I didn't notice it. I don't know why I put it in the fridge. I should have just thrown it in the trash. But I figured maybe he'd get into the trash, so I put it up high. I don't know what the point was.
This is why Becky loves red wine, because she lives with you and William.
Yes! That's exactly right. We had like an end of season party. Not an end of season. We had like a tournament celebration in like September. Spot.
Yes, that's when it's from.
You think that Mountain Dew's from September?
It's from some sort of event that we went for.
And
for
I just
soccer.
Filled up a cooler with like Mountain Dew pop.
Now, somebody else threw their shit in there and then we brought it home. It was from something like that because it was in one of the coolers. And actually, it was in the garage in like stale water for a long time because I didn't drain it. And so then I finally drained it like months later.
And so the mud settled out into the cooler into the bottom of this mountain.
I mean, I would have done it, but Becky was at the bar at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? Somebody's got to watch the kids. So
why I love red wine.
Not a nice bar, by the way. The VIP Lounge.
VIP Lounge is a good bar.
No, it's not.
Oh, excuse me. No, the Turleys of the world, and there are other folks who are as artisanal as Turley is, but why do I love red wine? Because the love you can taste in this glass. Turley takes vineyards that have been... abandoned.
That almost made me throw up in my mouth. The love you could taste in this glass. Jesus Christ. Why do you like red wine? Because of the love I can taste in this glass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You don't talk like this off the show, do you, to people?
Oh, when I talk about Turley, I do.
It might be nicer than just leaving dirty dishes and dirty Mountain Dews in the fridge.
And letting your...
Maybe I'll leave feces smeared all over the toilet seat next time. Mm.
I don't do that.
I know you don't, but you might sanction it.
Jesus.
I've had to clean too much feces off toilet seats recently. Not just that one. Every one of them. It's disgusting. I live with heathens. Not Becky, probably. I didn't do DNA testing on the feces, but that's right. What were you saying, Scott? What I was saying was far better.
Of course.
It was. Jesus Christ. I don't know why I thought of shit when I heard you talk, but whatever. The love in the glass. Go ahead. You were talking about the love in the glass.
Whitney's an example of that love in the glass.
Well, it's his mini retro's daughter.
But the wine itself, regardless of the name, you could name it Hobo Special. This is a special wine.
Technically, his youngest daughter.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. You should name Hain after
the ability of a winemaker to do so much with a grape, to make so many different expressions of the red.
This is
red
your question.
Wine.
It's not mine. It's his cousin's, and it was his question. You're exhausted.
It's your question. You asked
I love it. I love Turley. You know, I love red wine.
I brought it on the show. You know what? It is my fault.
Turley is everything to me that is special in red wine. Mm. What's your answer, sir? Why do you love red wine?
Yeah, let's have Becky do it. Yeah, Becky, if you'd like to go next, Scott ignored
you. I thought we'd make fun of him next.
No. I didn't even cut that. Why do I like red wine?
Yeah.
You got through it.
I feel like pre-wine vault.
Sure.
But I'm trying to debate if it was pre-knowing you. I would say pre-knowing you, pre-wine vault, but I'm not for sure on time frame-ish about when I started liking wine.
Okay.
I feel like I always drank it, but never really cared what I was drinking. I would say that's fair. But anyways, wine, I think, more so than bourbon or tequila or some of those things that other people drink. I feel like you can just find a lot of nice nuances in them, and you have memories of them. Kind of a trendy word right now is like a core memory, but like something that you would, you know, that takes you right back to a certain time and a certain place. And we've talked about that a lot, but someone I was talking to at work today, they're getting ready to go to Madrid in May.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're doing Portugal. They're going to, like,
ooh,
Lisbon and Porto. I know. In May.
What about Duero? Are they going to see Malcolm McDowell at Duero? And the guy that did the helicopter deck?
Oh, Jesus.
They probably won't see him.
So thank you very much for interrupting. But anyways.
I'm just adding to it.
I just was immediately transported to some of the, like, wine and food experiences that we had. And I think that that's, you have that more with red wine than you do any other drink.
Oh, God, yeah. And, you know, you're translating somebody else's travels to, and it makes you think of the wine you've had and what wine they could have or you could have if you went there, right? And that's because you love red wine, right? Or wine in general, whatever. It could be white wine, but, you know, I think going to Portugal and Spain, sorry, I'm thinking about red wine.
Yep.
And now it's on to me. Why do I like red wine? But that's as opposed to other things.
Did you not have any commentary on what I said?
I thought you spoke. What do I have to say about you? Oh, I'm going to do mansplain for you. You spoke for yourself.
You skipped over it and didn't. Okay.
I like what you said. I mean,
you approved.
If you farted on the microphone, it would have been better than what Scott said. So it was a low bar, but you did fine. Yeah, great.
Doghouse.
It's an opinion.
Wow.
And your opinion was great. Yippee. I like how you actually incorporated somebody else's thoughts into that, too. It was nice. Well done.
Really was.
Who else's thoughts?
I think you're talking about your coworker.
Oh, their trip?
You gave an example. Scott didn't give an example. But there's no points being associated.
Well, you were giving examples of feces and cleaning toilets.
What's that game that we used to play?
Well, you're going to play it a lot more if you...
What's that called?
What is that called? It's
like yay or nay, but...
Yes, it's pro-v-con.
Oh, God.
Everybody loves that.
No, we don't.
Well, I'm going to incorporate that. I'm going to get that back eventually.
No.
Maybe Wine Vault Trivia someday.
Jesus.
But not today. Why do I enjoy red wine? Partly because...
Why do you love red wine?
Well, let's start off...
And the premise is, why do I love red wine?
Why? I don't want to know why you love red wine.
No, you say this. It's your perspective of saying that.
What are you... This is a fucking English class? Shut the fuck
up. It's introspective.
God, you're... Anyway. One of the reasons why...
Boop, time's up.
Yeah, you know, you would think he would be able to be introspective with as much time as he... spends alone with his thoughts about himself.
Well, from a flavor profile standpoint, it's not that I do not enjoy white wine, because white wine can have a very interesting, I mean, think of Turley White Coat. That's all we're going to talk about that. There are multitudes of white wines that can take you, transport you, and really be a wonderful experience. They really can. Even Chardonnays. I mean, like the El Nemigio. There's wine in general, I find to be a little more complex, interesting to infinite levels. And it's also something, in my opinion.
So is that the same thought that I had about bourbon and tequila?
Well, I'm going to knock bourbon and tequila here shortly. It's not distilled. You know, it can't be controlled because you are subject to the conditions. You're subject to the quality of the ground, the terroir. There's so many things that a winemaker is, you know, that is somewhat out of their control. Yeah. You know, they're not you can't manipulate the market as to the price, like fucking douchebag down there Blanton people.
Ugh.
I mean, fuck them. No, you have X amount of acres. You can produce X amount of wines from the grapes. That's what it is. If a wine is exclusive, it's because they can't make much of it because there isn't much of it. It just isn't. It's not manipulated. It's not, I have a warehouse that burnt down kind of thing. It is a finite thing, okay? Beyond that, red wine itself, why do I prefer that over other things? The flavor profile from red wine appeals to me. I enjoy big, burly tannins. It's exclusive to red wine. I like to eat steak. I like red meat. That is a red wine type of thing.
It really is.
I like food things. I like things, food, that really just, I like food, that naturally pair with different red wines. I like sauteed mushrooms. That goes with Pinot. I like, you know, I do like seafood, but it's more of a one-off for me. I love scallops, but not all the time. I love salmon, but not all the time. Although I would drink Pinot with the salmon, but go for
it. I would too. I could do it.
So it's just overall the flavor profiles that I enjoy in my day-to-day life are more akin to the flavor profiles that match red wine. So that in of itself just starts off that. Mm-hmm. I also like drier wines. But at the same time, though, I appreciate everything. It's not that I necessarily love everything. It's just like, you appreciate books that you don't really like. I mean, I don't read everything. I don't hardly even read at all. But it's not because I think books suck. It's just because I don't don't read them.
Mm.
I can appreciate, though, there's artistry and poetry. I don't read poetry every day. What am I? You know, beatnik? But there's artistry.
When I started dating, Rob kept what was that Shakespeare book?
That's a great book. Where is that at? I love that thing. I keep it on my book. Yeah, because I read it all the time because I'm impressive. You told me so many lies. I like Radiohead. No, you don't.
That's different than keeping a Shakespeare book out.
Depends on who you are. Shakespearean Phil would feel it. It's very important.
Let me check something here. So
what?
Rob kept the Shakespeare book out because he knew you were an avid reader to impress you.
No.
I don't know if he knew any of that. I think he just thought that he looked cool.
I liked the book. I took the class. I got an A+.
Okay.
It wasn't your class textbook, though.
It was my class textbook. That was my class textbook.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Like 10 years later, you had it?
Yes, it's a cool book. It was like
it was pretty.
Yeah.
And it was like navy with like silver stuff on it.
It's the complete works of Shakespeare. All of his plays, all of his sonnets. I don't know where that book is. That is a great book.
Thick-ass book.
Yeah.
Like that thick. A great book. I mean, great class. It was like the highest level English class you could take, even though I wasn't an English major, which means I didn't have to participate because I wasn't an English major. And anybody that took that class that wasn't an English major, the professor goes, I like you because you're challenging yourself and you want to be here. He also had a barbecue at the end of his class. That's all right. Nice guy.
Did he wear sweatpants?
I'm not. I told Becky I wouldn't do Wilford, so I won't.
Actually, you never said that.
I did. She's already frustrated, so there's no reason.
Frustrated
to
is not probably.
It's
the
like
right
sticking
word.
It in and twisting it. I would stick today, but I'm not going. I'm not.
You don't do that
because you want me to. So there's the reason. Red wine already the flavor profiles appeal to me, and quite frankly, from an ageability standpoint, I love to collect things.
Yeah.
It's better than little tchotchkes.
What's that?
Like little figurines.
Yes, that's correct. Well, it is better than little figurines.
Or like people collect like thimbles and shot glasses and spoons.
They're
and
really cool too. Beanie Babies.
A lot of people collect stuff. Yeah. You collect wine.
Yeah.
What are the, they sell them with the Hallmark store? Oh, Precious Moments.
My sister collects Precious Moments. I don't know why, because
everyone in the, like,
my grandmother collected Hummels.
It was a thing. Yeah, well, Hummels. No, there you go. So,
what?
Why do I love red wine?
You already answered your question.
There's multiple answers.
No.
I would rather have Bo answer it. Well, he loves it. Remember when he tried to drink
it? He definitely loved that Chianti.
He did. That was a great Chianti, though, because we had a bottle of that.
It was good. El Grigio. Oh. So, you know what I sorted?
What did you sort?
I have another bottle of that.
Well, good. You should. You should have bought three.
I should have bought 10.
It's nice.
Wine, there's a life to wine. Oh, you know, it comes from the vineyard.
It comes from the ground. Yes.
The natural yeast that produces it. And it's a live thing. And what I mean by that is a bottle of wine can change.
What can? Yeah.
For the better.
Oh, God.
When it's a properly made wine from good stuff.
Are you like trying to take James Suckling's job? Because you are the most pretentious twat I've ever heard talk right now. Look,
when I
was a R rating.
Jesus. What, for what Scott said?
No, before I was a schmuck.
Oh, I know. I said that.
I was just a schlock. And then I became, you know, a wine reviewer for the Wine Speculator. And now I have my own masterclass. And Rob Dern.
Whitney.
Taught me everything I know, particularly this voice. And now I'm just, you know, sad that I don't love red wine anymore because Rob's taken that love of red wine away from me.
Is that Beau's voice? Because it's the same voice. So, folks, I think we've amply covered that topic, and we will never address it again.
Oh, I'm not done talking.
You never started talking. So we'll be right back. You know, if you're... You know, he's going to disown you as his cousin after that. Here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Scott's talking about himself there, of course.
Off air, we discovered that Whitney Turley actually still works for the vineyard, so we were mistaken earlier.
Did we suggest that she doesn't?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. I suggested that she shouldn't, but, you know, that's not the point.
Oh, Lord. Do you also suggest that Hain is one of the lesser offerings of the Turley?
I didn't suggest that. I actually stated that, but that's okay. Jesus. You're more than welcome to bring it on the show, so that's okay.
That's all right.
Bring it on the show. We'll see.
You'll go to a winery and Becky will come over to our house.
I will be impartial.
And we'll have Hanes.
Blind taste me on it. There we go.
I'll blind you.
Taste me on it.
Yes, there we go.
On what?
Hanes.
Isn't this delicious? Is this Sagesio Sonoma?
Simba? Give me a 10-second review of what you all talked about with Whitney.
Not much. She is the youngest daughter of Larry Turley.
About the wine.
Oh.
The nose was humongous.
Molasses, cherry creamsicle.
Licorice interlaced in there.
With an element of pine that kind of wafts over all of it. Very nice. On the palate, it's strong molasses.
Where does this come from?
Alexander Valley.
Sonoma.
And we don't know why it says Tennessee.
Yeah, it doesn't mention that in the descriptor of the wine.
No,
the website.
It doesn't. Maybe he doesn't know geography very well.
Tennessee's in California, right?
No, Larry, it's not.
Oh!
That's Wilfred.
No, that's not. That was Larry.
Oh, Lord. You're really getting...
I'm Larry Turley. This is not Wilfred. This is Wilfred. I'm higher pitched.
I don't have a... Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry. That's Larry Turley now. That's
gonna upset you. No, I cannot let you do that.
I can. I can do it.
No. You're stressing me out.
Here. So there we go. Who's Scott or me?
So the wine, the descriptor of the wine.
Yes. What?
Not as berry driven as many of the Zinfandels, but there is a berry element. It's an unripe blackberry. There's a wisp of acidity that just pops right at the front palate. It's primarily savory fruit.
But what I said, though, is it does have a bit of a porty finish. So the fact that Scott likes it so much, I find it is a little bit surprising.
It does.
Almost like Oloroso sherry style. So it's not overtly sweet, but you taste the richness that suggests of sweetness, but doesn't go sweet.
It doesn't go sweet. And also, we were enamored by the oaking of it. How it...
The oaking is quite good.
Almost appears as a leathery element, mm-hmm. and it's raw and exposed at the finish, and it's lengthy. I made the comment that my grandchildren grew up, went to high school, and graduated from college during the finish of this wine.
I would, if I was going to like qualify it as anything, I'd say it's required wheat. It's required reading.
Folks, you should have heard him for botching the intro. It's difficult. Episodes.
I would have listened to Scott do the intro, but he never does.
Well, I would have written it down and done it and read it in one pass.
This is Scott. Anyway, it's a person that is a Zin fan really should experience this wine. Whether you like it or not, it's more of a stylistic choice. But it... Even if you're not a lover of the style, you have to you still would appreciate it, because you know it isn't quite as boozy as you would find in Amador or Russian River. It isn't. Okay. It is a slight bit drippy, and it goes down that road a little bit, but I think it restrains it enough so it's still great. When I sit down and say I'm Rob Dern, I'm going to drink a whole bottle of this. Yes, but that's not. I wouldn't enjoy it. I would pass out before I got to the end of the bottle. But still, it wouldn't be my choice for that. Would I, in a group of four, say, you know what? Let's have a lovely wine tonight. Let's drink the Whitney. Yes, I would. And I would sit there and I would drink it slower. It's something that it isn't necessarily, the drinkability factor isn't as high because of the headiness there. But it's a high-class Zinfandel, high-class level winemaking, even though the vineyard, which they... put a picture of. Looks like the parking lot of a construction site.
God.
It's impressive what's there and the aromatics and just the uniqueness. It sets itself apart. It is unique. And I do appreciate the wine.
And the uniqueness, I think, is, you know, one of the things I said earlier that would summarize my feelings about this wine. It's just another unique expression of Zinfandel. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I love Zinfandel is how many different characteristics it can exhibit. And the skillfulness of Turley to just put this product out in a unique fashion that's why I love Turley. And this is why I try all the different offerings they have. I love it.
Now, with that, the Juvie, the 19 Juvie, and I just realized this is the Thanksgiving dinner of Zinfandels for me. This is
Whitney Tennessee is?
No. The Juvenile. In the wine series glass. Because I think it's a super version of like the Segeshio or the Old Vine Zin from Dry Creek, or not Old Vine Zin. We actually have the Dry Creek Old Vine Zin in the wine vault that Becky and I will drink without Scott, because we're going to divide it. Well, maybe we'll drink with you, but the Heritage, because it's that same kind of price level. But this is the super version of that, so it has all the elements that I love of those two wines. But developed in such a lusher, better tone.
Better.
Yes, that's not good English, but I don't care. I think this Turley, this Juvie, is absolutely delicious because it hits on all the notes that I love.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it necessarily a better wine than the Whitney, but I think it's absolutely delicious, and I love this wine to death.
Yeah, well, it's two things that
the I love Juvie, it. I wish I would have bought 1,000 bottles
yeah,
of
there's
the
19. Two things that the Juvie has over the Whitney: price point. The Whitney's the price point.
Double the price point.
But also just the sheer drinkability. The sheer drinkability of this Juvie is...
This is a really good Juvie.
Really up there.
I mean, this now, is a cracking Juvie.
I don't know if you notice this or if you think this. I think it's a little less berry-driven than other Juvies.
Well, maybe.
Other vintages of Juvies. But the same token, I think there's more of a berry to savory fruit balance in this Juvie.
It is a really nicely balanced wine.
Just in general.
It's great. I think this is one of my favorite juveniles. By the way, Becky, I have good news for you.
It's probably a little young.
Yeah, but it's always a little young. But it tastes good now.
3-4 years.
I have good news for you, Becky. I found a lot of different vintages of old vine that I didn't know I had. So, like, we have 4 or 5 19s, I think, several 18s, and even some 17s. I don't know where they found those, but I found them. So that's good.
We did have a 17 the other night in our household, mm-hmm. and it was just a little bit jammy.
Sometimes.
It's like it wasn't ready yet, and it was a 17.
But the 16 old vine will live in infamy as one of the better wines we've had from Zinfandel.
I love the 14 also.
The 14 is very good. The 14 Juvie is very good. I don't know. I think the value and there's some beauty with Turley entry level is kind of a mockery, but in their entry level wines, the juvenile and then the old vine, you really can find some fantastic wines. I think the old vines may be a little bit more ready to drink, strangely enough, than the Juvie, but they're both really great wines. And if you find it, yes, you're going to pay a little bit more, but if you like Zinfandel, you like red wine, you can buy them. Buy them, drink them. You're gonna enjoy them. As you know what, even as a special occasion, I really fully endorse the you know that we love Turley. Scott really loves Turley, but they are great wines.
There's a reason.
I have a question.
Turley. Sure.
So you are more of a Juvie fan than old vine.
It depends on the vintage.
Did say that earlier before you.
I like the Juvie more than you do.
Yeah, and fair what enough. Are you? Which one would you pick?
I'm definitely more open to Rob's thinking that in some vintages, the Juvie is better. I think in general, the Juvie's normally has a little more drinkability level than the old vine, but I think the old vine's a little more ageable. But Rob's position is that the Juvie's the more ageable.
And I think that the old vine has better drinkability.
But I think, no way.
But if you had to pick right now, which one would you pick? You can do percentages, too, if you're like 60-40 or something.
You know, it'd be tough because, you know, we've been doing the Turley long enough, you guys longer than me, that we've got little special favorites. Like Rob's like, the 16 Juvenile. Yeah. No, the 14. And the 15 Old Vine.
That's very good.
There were a couple of those that I held back.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd held back all of them because it just... Oh, it was just so good once it had some shelf life to it.
Yeah.
Are you like 60 old vine?
It'd be like year to year. It's like, I can't wait to try the next.
And see which one.
The next one, because I wouldn't say I have a favorite over the other. It's just, and also the way they do it, each vintage is going to be so different from the other.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, and it's the joy of being mail order from Turley and getting those. It's like, it's always that tough decision. How many bottles of old vine am I going to get? How many bottles of Juvie am I going to get? You know, and it's because, you know, it's $20 a bottle for the Juvie.
And I look at them a little bit differently in the fact that I know that you really love the old vine, and that's great. So I like buying it because, yes, I'll drink that. There's no problem.
Not twisting your
But mind. At the same time, I know for me, if I buy several bottles of the Juvie at $20 a bottle plus shipping, I'm going to have a bottle that I'm going to sit back for 3 or 4 or 5 years And it really is really good at that point.
And
I love that.
I'm not going to really drink it either, so you're going to get to have it all to yourself.
Which I don't understand with the Juvie. I understand that you don't like the Cedarman because, yeah.
But
I
the Juvie is usually so
I
much more approachable.
I have to be in the mood to drink those. And I have a lot of those, so we're going to have to figure out how to drink those. We're going to have to choke them down.
I can help.
They're rough.
I can help. I don't have any problems drinking this.
I know. I don't love Juvie.
But so I think maybe, you know, you just need to give it a chance from vintage to vintage because they are so, there is such.
Fresh Juvie, I think, can be. Scott, in Vegas.
Each year's different.
When we were in Vegas.
There was a year where we had the Juvie right off the. And it
right off the boat, and it wasn't very good.
It was jammy, too.
No, it was just odd. But we also were drinking.
I thought it was jammy.
But never drink Juvie or red wine after you drank martinis.
And. That was Cigar Lounge Day as well.
No, that was the day before.
Okay.
But, Steven, I did have like 17 Bloody Marys that day, too.
It was a rugby day.
No, it was the day before rugby. You're so good with your memory.
Did you come on Wednesday or Thursday?
It doesn't matter.
You guys came on Thursday. That was the day before rugby.
We were the day before rugby. Rugby hadn't started yet.
Okay.
So we were just partying that day.
That was every day.
Fair enough. You and I, the other two sissies, went to sleep. So let's go around the room, though. Let's get some reviews of each wine. Triple B, how do you review each wine?
I'm having a hard time because I think I might like the Whitney more than the Juvie.
That's, you're fine with that. Yeah. You can. I mean, it's dude. From a review standpoint, that's a fair thing to say. I don't know.
I'm
you
so surprised,
didn't discuss
though,
what you thought what
I,
and what
yeah.
you found in
yeah.
this. So I do feel
you
like
ask
the Whitney,
us to describe.
I think the reason why I'm having a hard time with it is because when you all were talking about it being a little bit more port-like, the Whitney being more port-like, I noticed that also, but I think I like it, which is weird because I'm not a port drinker. But I'm also...
At least you think that.
I'm also wondering if it's just because I don't like Juvie.
You're just prejudiced against Juvie?
Kind of, which is
you
a terrible thing to say. I don't love
way.
Juvie. But I do, I don't know how much, like, sometimes with Turley's, I could drink 10 bottles and not get tired of it. With Whitney, I've had a half glass, would you say?
Probably.
A third of a glass, whatever.
The more you drink, the less I have to.
And so I don't know if the port, like the licorice-ness of it would be, if it would get old for me. That's not like, those aren't the flavors that I normally go towards. So, but I am a really big fan of it. I also feel like this is a little bit of a different flavor profile for Zen.
Oh, yeah.
That we, don't often drink, which is, we've drank a lot of Zen. So
sure.
to drink something that's unique, in one special type of Zen is interesting for sure. I think I thought that we had exhausted all Zen flavor profiles.
I don't know about both of you, but I don't have a comparison point.
Yeah,
directly.
I really
to
don't.
Whitney.
But that's what I was saying though. It's right. It's like a port of call for people that are Zen fans that should try this.
You should try this.
Yeah.
You should if. And
like it or not, that and Fry Brothers.
Just to appreciate.
Yeah.
We've all used that word unique.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's super
yeah,
unique.
It's a special wine.
I don't know that I could drink. What is the alcohol by volume on
a
it?
A lot.
15
I was
going to
say it tastes boozy.
It has a plethora.
15.4. It tastes boozy.
It tastes boozier than the Juvie, yeah.
It does taste boozier. It a little bit. Has when you're drinking, you're like, oh, that has like a hangover written all over it.
But
don't
not like a rage.
I didn't
one.
Get
just,
that.
Just, it's just an acknowledgement that you're like, well, that might be rough.
Yeah, but it isn't like, what is the other one? Is Cedarman a high alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Content?
Oh, yeah. The ones that are worst are like the Cobb County and the Judge Bellows are over 16.
Yeah, like 16.1,
oh
16.5.
16, that's cocaine in the can, baby.
It is. But I mean, you can tell. In a great
yeah.
way, though. Not in a, like...
Yeah.
Not like a vodka way. But you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't burn your throat. No. It's very interesting. I was also debating in my mind if I would know that it was a Turley just because it's so different.
Yeah. The thing that would point me coming back to Turley is it does have the Turley mouth a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different spin on it, but there's that luxuriousness about it. There's that coating on the tongue that.
And I would hope that Turley's I would get to it as well. The other thing is sometimes when Rob tries to trip me up on what we're drinking on a whatever night, Turley in general can have some really unique flavor profiles. Like Cedarman is so unique. The rattlesnake, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. It's so unique.
Pacenti.
So sometimes when I'm tasting something that's really unique, I'm like, okay, I know this is a Turley. I just don't know which one.
Yeah. Fair enough on that.
And so I think that I would probably guess Turley on this just because it's so much, I don't know, it's so outside of a Zen zone. But I like it. I feel like it is on the path down the port.
Yeah.
Don't you? I would give this, again, it is tough when you don't have any kind of comparison chart, like in any frame of reference to give it to. But I think that I'm going to land somewhere around like a 91, 92. I'm going to go with a 91.
For Whitney?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's right exactly where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right exactly where I'm at. If I had to put a decimal, I'd go 91.5.
Yeah.
Is it 91 for me or 92? It's just, and again, it's unique. I think I'm going to bump it to the 92 because of that. And also, this is one of my favorite expressions of oak from Turley in a long time. And I'll be honest, I purposely didn't talk about the oak when you asked for the descriptor because I didn't want to influence on you. Yeah. Sometimes oak turns you off.
Right.
And this is raw is a harsh word, but it's exposed.
Yeah.
And it's such a unique expression of oak, too. True. I described it as kind of leather.
Yeah.
Not peppery.
And it's unabashedly American, but it's not in a negative way, which I feel like.
Yeah, I think
it's a positive American oak.
I think it was like 80% American oak, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
like 95% used, but 80% American.
Oh, maybe that's why it's a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But yeah, the oaking is pronounced in a way. This sounds so pretentious. I'm kind of like puking at myself for saying this.
Scott talked earlier, so you.
But it is. It's just a classic California Zen oaking with American oak, but in the best way possible. The best way that you could use American oak. Ugh, I like want to puke how pretentious that sounds.
No, I don't think so.
No, you didn't sound pretentious.
We've been doing this long enough that.
Scott said, hold my beer. Yeah.
You really don't care for American oak, and typically it's just not expressed this way. Mm-hmm. It's not pretentious. It's just accurate from your experience. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah. I would love to be in the room. When Turley's talking, when like the winemakers and the people at Turley are talking, and they're like discussing like just the raw wine, what are we going to do with this?
I'd just like to be in the room with Christina Turley.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That's creepy. This and you is, can't be. There's 100 yards that has to be separated between you and her.
That,
you know it.
But wouldn't that be
that's
cool?
Exhausted.
The judge said no.
Do you think they have meetings where they're like, okay, this one, I think if we do American, blah, blah, blah. Like when they have those discussions, don't you think that would be very cool?
I think they have discussions of Scott's picture and they say, this, see this fucker?
We're not going down that path.
Okay.
Now your picture's on the list because you besmirched Haynes.
You didn't harass Christina.
Listen.
We've already discussed on the Katina Cabernet episode that you were her old enough to be her grandfather, so shut the fuck up.
That was like an episode 3. Nobody listened to that.
I listened to it. So anyway, we listened to it on the way down to on vacation. We're going on a vacation soon enough. We'll listen to it again. But
you're not going to make vacation. You're going to be deed before tomorrow night.
Maybe. But on to me. the review for the Whitney, because then we'll go into the Juvie. I really think this wine has a lot of merit. I've thought about how I've reviewed things in the past, and quite frankly, this is the upper echelon of the Turleys that we've done on the show. I also know what I've reviewed the Juvie, but this is a tick higher than the Juvie simply because, or more than maybe more than one tick, because it is a superior wine, removing my particular taste. I enjoy the Juvie more, but I know this wine is fantastic. It is a wine I think that anybody that drinks Zinfandel should seek out, you know, go find, look everywhere, steal. I don't care. You need to drink it because it's unique. And that's the other thing. It's unique.
For Zins, it's so unique.
So I'm providing it 93 of my points.
Bada bing, bada boom.
You didn't think I'd do that, did you?
Son, no, I didn't expect that.
And then on to the Triple B for the Juvenile.
Really quickly,
yes.
Just a quick question. To the room, too. Becky,
yeah.
Comment on this.
But you're looking at me. Yeah.
Crossover. Yes. You're a red wine drinker, but not a Zin drinker. What crossover wine drinker would like this? So a Pinot drinker, Merlot, no. Malbec.
It's awful perfumey. Malbec. Maybe but a Malbec, really good,
right?
Malbec.
If you like Malbecs, I think that would be the crossover drinker for this. What's your thought?
Pinotage, maybe.
I was nobody thinking like a
nobody drinks Pinotage.
They don't.
They don't.
I almost, my first thought when you asked that question was a Cab Franc drink.
Fair enough.
No.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's
yeah.
true. This is maybe a little bit more off kilter, but yeah, no,
but
I agree with that.
The austereness of mm-hmm. Cab Franc.
Yeah.
Well,
which is interesting, too. Like, I don't like Cab Franc. That wouldn't be my wine of my top 10 wines, but
I have really boozy Cab Franc, yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. So the Juvenile, though, what are your opinions of the
that's
Juvenile?
That's harder for me because I'm naturally prejudiced against it.
Well, you have to remove your prejudice. That's what I do whenever I review anything by Wagner. Not really. I never do that. But
so, I mean, we've discussed at length my prejudice towards oaking and how sensitive I am towards it. The oak and the finish on this Juvie are, I mean, that is the backbone of the wine, I think. And like the...
That's a backbone, yes.
Very probably strong. 80% of the flavor profile of Juvie.
Huh.
I would say there's some pepperiness in there. There's some cedar in there. The finish is almost like a little bit of smoke.
True. All accurate.
Especially like the longer... the finish is how long? 60 seconds. I mean, it's like...
It's long. Yeah.
It's
I don't think it's as long as the Whitney.
It's not as long as the Whitney, but it's long. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a...
For a $20 wine, it's long.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
How much, I know we've talked about this, how much would you see Juvie on a restaurant menu for? 60?
I've never.
We paid 80, but that was in Vegas. So let's ignore
translate
that.
Translate it out of,
was it that
much?
How much should,
60?
Yeah.
Was it that much?
Yeah. How much should you? Well, yeah, you're,
would
but
you
they put
it in the $50 to $60 range?
Oh, at least.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be, but it is, yes.
Yeah.
We, you know, what we pay for the mail order, it's 30 to 40.
Retail. Restaurant.
Yeah.
No, retail.
Oh, retail,
right.
Yeah.
Like if you were a Grain and Grape, it would
be. Yeah, if you buy a mail order, it's $20 plus shipping, folks.
Yeah.
Period. No more, which is a very good deal.
Steal.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is. So I always struggle with Juvie because it isn't my cup of tea. And I know, I think I'm. When we went to that Turley tasting dinner, I mean, it's been a while, but also I feel like I was one of the only ones that felt that way. I think
was Juvie part of that tasting, Scott? I don't recall them. No,
I swear it was.
Maybe it was. I don't recall.
Hane,
we drank a lot.
There was Rattlesnake Dragon. I thought they put their best foot forward, put their top stuff in there.
Old Vine was there, and that means we definitely drank Old Vine then, 1,000%.
Okay, maybe we did. I don't know. Yeah.
I remember we drank it because I remember whatever vintage we had, I remember saying and very much feeling if this was the only wine I could ever have again, I would be okay.
Oh, what, the Elvine. You said that many times.
What about the woman presenter? Remember her?
She's the one who was bringing the juvie around.
She wasn't around.
Was she a server? False.
You dumbass.
She did.
Scott believes there was a woman that was involved in the tasting. There was no woman involved.
False.
The dude that was the taste, the person.
I know that we've talked about this tasting so many times, but there was a man there. Do you remember him that he had on a grape?
Yeah,
tie.
I made fun of him.
Oh my God.
Did you talk about it tonight already?
But there also was the dude at our table that one guy had a helmet hair, and the other one was married to a woman that was wearing drapes. Literally, she sewed her dress out of drapes.
They were the three most unique, weird people I've ever met in real life.
Not interesting, but they also do potlucks. They have wine dinners and they do potlucks. And they also all live in their mom's basement.
No, just the guy.
They all did.
I think they all live in that one guy's basement.
Oh, they're swingers, but not no, you don't want to see that
swingers.
Video.
I don't know that any of them have ever done anything.
LARPing.
Before.
We've talked about LARPing.
I don't want to know what LARPing is, but I know
live
that
action something.
It's an acronym. Yeah. I know that we had Old Vine then because I remember that feeling and the pepperiness of Old Vine.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the vintage was, but I loved it. So I guess I just assumed we had Old Vine then.
So what's your review? What's your score?
14 or 14.
I'm putting down the 95.
It wasn't Hain, it was Ubruth.
We had Ubruth and Hain.
Hain was that 92?
Yeah. It was a pretty much. It was the Hain Petit Sirocco.
I do remember having
you hated
Ubruth
the Hain
too.
That night.
I didn't hate it. It was just ordinary.
No, you tried to say that Hain was, or Ubruth was not ageable.
It was acidic.
Mm. Freaking delicious, folks.
Becky is right now considering her score.
I am, because I thought
no lives will be lost if you. I mean,
I was just going to say on this juvie, it still has a little bit of a boozy taste to it. It's 15.2.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, yeah. I don't fuck around.
In my mind, I just thought it was a lot lower.
Well, it's because it's the structure, as I said, is a little more traditional to what you normally would drink.
Sure. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and just a really good version of that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. This is the juvie that's most Old Vine-like of any I've had. I'm not necessarily comparing it, but it's more that way, I think, because of the
I think Old Vine's a little softer, but
berry to savory fruit profile.
Hmm.
Traditionally, I think the juvie's more berry-driven than this. And not that this doesn't have a good size berry content to it, but
That's a good point.
We've had so many vintages of juvie and Old Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic.
That's a good point. I feel like this juvie is definitely berry-driven, but the pepperiness, there is that smoke that we talked about. I almost feel like there's leather in there. Did you all talk about that?
We did.
No, we talked about leather in the
Whitney. Yeah.
No, it was this.
No.
Well, we are now. We did.
Whenever our
listeners makes you
listen,
better.
They can.
Yeah, they can look back and, I don't know, we talked about a lot of things.
They'll see who's right and who's wrong.
Well,
but
we said that if I was sitting upright by the end of this episode, it would be a win. So go ahead.
You are a little bit slurring.
My good God, yes. I'm trying my hardest. I mean, there's a lot of alcohol in my system, okay?
You're leaning.
That's why I'm trying to get a fucking score from you, because I might pass out in 10
just
seconds.
Just for our listeners.
Lusitanis listing to the port side.
I said this, and I started off by saying this is an episode that was a combination of David Copperfield / Harry Houdini / Jackass, that Scott and I, we thought we were the only ones going to be drinking this. And that's a lot of alcohol to be drinking.
Can I tell you, just to our listeners.
You're trying to kill
when
me.
When I came downstairs, I was so mad at Rob.
You were.
And I was like telling him all the things that he had done wrong. And he kept moving and speaking into the microphone.
Yes, I'm too drunk to care.
Yeah, off air. And yes. It just made me more and more mad because I would say, like, what are we doing tomorrow? And then he would turn his head to speak more in the microphone.
We weren't recording, folks. But that's my dedication to you.
That just shows how drunk he is.
I always do that. I always talk in the microphone because I can hear myself through my headphones. You don't wear headphones.
I wasn't antagonizing him.
Becky doesn't wear headphones. Go ahead.
I don't. I don't like hearing your voice straight into my ear.
Kiss
drums.
My ass.
Cannot imagine why. I don't know why that would bother you.
Why is that offensive to me? Fuck you. So go ahead. No, I don't mean that. I was talking to Scott.
Okay.
No, I was talking to you. Go ahead. Go ahead. What's your stamp score for juvenile before I pass on? This is a small window.
After all, it's a small window.
You need somebody to press stop on the recording. Okay.
Scott and I can figure it out.
No, you can't.
If you passed out on air, it would be like a memorable first.
Could you imagine the laughter we'd have?
I would leave him down here all night.
I'm slowing my drinking so I can stay upright.
Rob would wake up at like 4:30 in the morning, slumped over the computer. No, I would.
The only reason it doesn't happen Bo every Sunday night is because I wake him up.
Bo would be like, what's wrong with you? I know you do.
But look at Bo. He would not do anything.
It looks like he's been drinking all this stuff. This is a hard job, folks. I hope you appreciate what we do. Thankless. It's a thankless job. The sacrifices we make.
Where
are
you
at
with the juvie? I think you've opened up to appreciate the possibilities.
Yeah.
Give it the 83 you want to give it. I don't care now. I do care.
I wouldn't give it an 83.
Thanks. You can't.
82.
So what is hard for me is these are such different wines, but I'm giving them the same score.
Wow, that's a nice score.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 91. My preference would be Whitney, but I am, of course, a big fan of this juvie, which is shocking to me. The leather, the pepperiness of it is just really, really nice. The booziness is kind of a lot for me, but that's...
In the juvie?
Yeah, I mean, they both taste
far more
boozy.
Prevalent in the...
They're both pretty boozy.
Well, I mean, the alcohol...
Oh, they're big. They're
big, but yeah.
It's like 15.4.
And 15.2.
Yeah, I mean, they're both...
That 0.2 makes a difference, damn it.
Yeah, they're pretty boozy, which is not normally something that I feel like we see in a lot of Zins, is the booziness of them.
Well, the damn... Turley sneaks up on you like a fucking
ninja. No, I would agree. I would say that Turley is very boozy general. But you wouldn't normally see booziness, would not be a way I would describe Zin.
Yeah, and I know I wouldn't describe most Turleys as boozy.
But they don't taste
tasty.
Boozy.
They're
but
just
they
high
just,
alcohol
they
content.
Just still, they stick the shiv them, up under your rib cage into your lungs so you can't scream.
Some That's of them fair. Do taste boozy. This is probably one of the more boozy tasting juveniles, but I wouldn't. It's not a predominant flavor.
It's a bigger juvie.
It is a bigger juvie. I'm similar point, and I'm also a 91. Though I'd be, if it was digitized to the 10th, I'd probably be like 90.6. But this is a 91. I love this juvie. It's just. It's a little unique for the juvies. I love the balance between the savory fruit and the berry fruit.
Yeah.
Normally, the juvies are a little more berry fruit driven for me. The tannic structure of this is another win for this.
Yeah.
It's a good drinkability wine. Off the fucking scale, folks.
Assuming you have a group to drink. And on to me, 92 of my points. Whitney, 93. This, 92. This is one of the finer examples of juvie that I've drank. And I love the fact that it's a super version of wines I already love. I've probably even drank 19 before. I just don't remember. But obviously because I was drunk. But just this wine is a quintessential Zinfandel where the Whitney... is a bit of a experimental version
of
Zin.
It's unique.
It's really great. This is more of the bread and butter Thanksgiving, you know, Sonoma-esque, even though it's California, Zins. Like the Sagesio, like the Dry Creek, like the Dry Creek Vineyard. I think that's why you, Becky, find this to be a lot more palatable, because I think it is more towards those veins of those traditional Zins that we like. It's a magnum version of those things, superior, but it shows elements of those things that we love. And I think that makes this thing absolutely deliciously wonderful. I just wish we weren't drinking both at the same time, but that's okay.
The fact that
I would love to be drinking the juvenile by itself so I wasn't going to die, but I'm not. Or I would love to be drinking the Whitney by myself, at itself, so I wouldn't die. But I'm not. I'm drinking both at the same time for you, the dear listeners.
Oh, yeah, you're just so dedicated to the listeners.
I love the listeners. Yes, they're the most important thing. Sure you do. They are. Yeah. They are. Okay. Yeah, except for you.
Except for when they come up with a good idea for potpourri, then you...
They came up with a good idea, and you fucked it up.
Oh, I botched it.
Well, you always do. You don't have a lot of talent.
Well...
I mean, you are the Whitney of the wine bowl.
Listen, there's... I'm unique, for sure.
I'm a Larry, Christina, and then Whitney.
You're the Larry, and the Mo, and the Curly.
In fairness, you're the dude that get the helicopter dick in the vineyard, so... Yeah, I know.
Dude, Rob looks like a lady.
That's sexually offensive.
That's you.
No, the fact
that this Zin, the Juvie, is translatable and comparable to Segesio and the Dry Creek, I think is a sign of its approachability, but it blows both those wines out of the water.
Yeah.
It really does.
It does that, and then it just kind of mocks them as it runs by. And those are both good wines.
It got a 15-yard penalty because it ran into the end zone backwards and held the ball out. And I think it actually grabbed its crotch, too, while it jumped in
the air.
Oh,
no, it did.
Threw its helmet off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it wearing sweatpants?
Crusty.
Wow. That's fair. I would pull my sweatpants down and show my that might.
You can't do that while you're running into the end zone, Wolf.
You've never seen what I can do. I can do many things. I'm very talented. I'm ambidextrous.
That's what the fake.
You know, if you use your left hand, it's like somebody else doing it.
So, folks, a 91, 92, 93 for the Whitney.
What's that?
It's a bad wine night.
And a 90, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come down. A 91, a 91, a 92 for the Juvenile. And by the way, Turley, in case you weren't aware, you were in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame.
Again.
Because you're fucking great. So.
Other than Hain, right?
Yeah, that was, no.
Hain's not any good.
Until it's on the show, it's not in the Hall of Fame. It's in the Wall of Shame. So.
You're in the Wall of Shame. How dare you?
It's just not a good wine. So, for Rob the Wine Guy. Scott, the licensed taxi driver, and the Triple B. We're going to bid you adieu, but we will see you next time, unless I pass out and die from alcohol poisoning, here on the Wine Vault. Good night.